We're taking a walk through an exhibition by the Dutch artist Dan van Gulden at London's Camden Arts Centre. Walking past paintings that are derived from wrapping paper, Japanese tissues, little patterns, paper hankies, all painted with a care and a perspicacity that makes them look almost as if they're reproductions, or the tissues and papers themselves, or even a handkerchief that's been blown up, oversized, little grids and plaids in yellows and reds and blues. But what we've come here to look at is a painting of a sculpture by the Swiss artist Alberto Giacometti. You could say that Dan van Gulden is an abstractionist. Every artist is an abstractionist. They abstract from the world. The Giacometti sculpture is rendered only as a profile or an silhouette, an outline, a blob, a complicated blob, an elongated figure. How do we know it's a Giacometti? Well, I recognize it. The solid base, the big foot that seems to be pulled up like chewing gum into the form of a figure, topped by a head. Giacometti's sculptures, his late work, are all like the letter I. I exist. It's a sculpture of a woman. I can tell by the hair on that small head that tops the elongated body. The other thing about Giacometti's sculptures is how worked they were, how he troubled, how he worried over them, fretted as he mounded up the plaster on its armature or the clay, and how the space around the Giacometti seems to eat into the figure. But we're here to talk about Dan van Gulden, not Alberto Giacometti. Aren't we? I'm not sure. Giacometti's figures are to be seen in the round. We walk around them, and the light and the space seems to etch the form, to overflow into it. And as we move around a Giacometti sculpture, it at once recedes and comes towards us. We can't exactly tell where its boundaries are. The van Gulden doesn't move in the same way. But there the figure is, red on a primed white ground, a commercially primed canvas whose white isn't quite white. You can see the grain coming through. It's a sort of bluish, greyish atmosphere, as much as it is a flat ground. And the painting itself is flat on top of the prime ground. A deep red, a cadmium. But it does seem to have form and three-dimensionality nonetheless, partly because we remember its origin in the sculpture, seen full length and derived from an image that Dan van Gulden saw in an auction catalogue. I can't tell you exactly which of Giacometti's sculptures this is. I think it's one of his wife Annette. I recognize the hair falling down her neck. The bulk of the hair bigger than the face itself, which seems to have its chin up, facing the world. No arms visible, just this profile, this eye, saying what? Me, I exist, here I am, somehow. It is in van Gulden's work a motif, but it's also a memory of the sculpture. And perhaps if we didn't know what Giacometti's sculptures look like, we wouldn't recognize it. But staring at it, it does seem to move and to be and to exist, as a figure might. The light on the painting is not bright. There's no spotlight on it. And you can't exactly tell what the surface is like. It seems to resist us. But when we get up close, we look at the boundary between the ground and the figure. And it's like a puddle with a very complex edge. I remember Patrick Heron's late paintings, which he called wobbly hard edge paintings. And these have something of that same quality, these contours, a coastline, this complicated coastline of protuberances, of bays and bluffs. And you can't really tell what's the ground and what's the figure. It's almost as if the canvas itself was red, and it's the space around the figure that's been painted. The tide has come in, flooding what might be beaches, filling the coves, this wobbly edge that continues right around the figure, carefully copying the protuberances and the concavities and the complexities of Giacometti's sculpture. The more I look, the weirder it gets. And that red seems to saturate my eyes. And if I cast my eye away from the figure, when is it? I'm even more aware of how bluish and turquoise that white ground is against the white of the wall. This, of course, is caused by the cones and rods in my eyes becoming saturated with red and producing, after a while, their after image. It's strange, you sort of drown in it. Where is the figure? Where's it going? After a bit, you want to move away. Turning around the freestanding wall on which the painting hangs, there it is again, on the opposite side, this time spotlit. An identical painting, or near identical, same size, the same red, the same ground, but it seems different. Seems skinnier and narrower, the canvas, the white of the ground even bluer, the red singing even more. Its presence, more stark, more like an exclamation, this puddle of red. So the two paintings are twinned, one on each side of the wall. You can only see one at a time as you move around from one side of the wall to the other, just as you might walk around a Giacometti, seeing it first from one way, then from another angle. How strange it is. There's a history of duplication in artists' works, copies and editions. But in Dan van Golden's case, it seems that this twinning is more than a matter of reproduction. And generally he makes three or even four copies of the same work, sometimes in different colours, different scales. I'm reminded of an early Robert Rauschenberg, sort of abstract expressionist painting, which he then repainted with all the drips and all the gestures, proving perhaps that abstract expressionism wasn't so much about uniqueness and about the unrepeatable battle in some painterly arena. And then later, the doubled pillows and other forms that one finds in Felix González Torres' sculptures. And then later, in homage to Felix, the twinned glass forms of the artist Ronnie Horne. All of which are distant cousins of Dan van Golden's work. How strange it is, as we stand and walk around, looking first on one side of the wall, then on the other. His paintings are flat. The world isn't. We never see things the same way twice. That seems to be part of what van Golden is saying. It's mysterious. And that doubling and redoubling is part of the mystery.